To shed some light on this condition, we have Cindy Kutsia. She's from the Indigo Smile Autism Foundation. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you.
Welcome. I think we should start off with, what is autism?
Autism is a complex neurodevelopmental disorder, and it affects how a person communicates, behaves, and interacts with other people, and also their learning styles, auditory, sensory, and how they see the world around them.
Where does it come from? As in, how did autism become autism?
Autism was first documented in 1943, but was thought to be part of schizophrenia. It was only in the late 80s that autism started to become part of a separate diagnosis on its own.
What does spectrum refer to?
The spectrum refers to the amount of conditions or symptoms that is associated to a child that might have autism. This basically means that they struggle to connect socially, communicate differently, they interact differently with other people.
There's different levels on each one of those spectrums. So some people might not want to interact with people at all, and some of them will allow some interaction.
Correct, yes. So when you look at autism and the different, call it levels that they would explain it with, you would hear about three different levels of autism. Level 1, level 2, and level 3. That person can do social and communication skills. They sometimes have repetitive behaviors, but they don't need full-time support. When you look at level 2, they need a substantial amount of support with their communication, repetitive behavior, and they are obvious to casual observers. And they basically, they can be in places without support, but sometimes they still do need support in other areas. And then level number 3 is a child that really needs constant support in their daily lives. Those are more your severe children.
What are some of the common symptoms or signs of autism?
When you look at a child with autism or autism traits, normally they would have a lack of eye contact. They might not respond to their name. They will have social difficulties or show strange behavior in society. Some of them might be nonverbal. They might also repeat phrases constantly, like the same phrase over and over. They have unusual habits like tippy toes, flashy fingers, rocking, stimming situations. They have uneven gross motor skills, repetitive behaviors or interests. They would go to exactly the same thing at a specific time, all the time, and that is what they would do.
Getting back to the levels, if somebody is a level 2, with help, can they get to a level 1 autistic situation?
That all depends on the support and resources that a child can get. If that is noticed at a very, very young age, say at 18 months, 2 years, yes, a child are able to make progress and hopefully get back into society.
At what age do spectrum signs usually start showing or manifesting?
From the ages of 18 months, 20 months, 24 months. So it's very young. So if a child is about 2, 2.5, and any parent has picked up little things that they're not sure of, that is when you need to just start looking a little bit deeper.
What are other names for autism?
There's quite a few. Autism, when we talk about ASD, or autism spectrum disorder, autism spectrum condition, Asperger's, which they also called your Aspies. You get high functioning autism, and then you get pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified. So those are all terms that is currently used when a child would receive a autism diagnosis. And I also feel that sometimes that is where it creates confusion, because what is the difference between ASD and high function autism? And, you know, connecting with different parents, we have seen the confusion, because a lot of them don't have the same name for whatever. It's the same condition that we're trying to find solutions for.
I feel that sometimes parents are thrown into the deep end because not everybody knows, and they just think there's something seriously wrong with my child.
That is correct, yes. But the question is, how do parents get these resources? Where do we go to get these resources? And that is where one of our main struggles are as parents, because we don't always receive all the correct resources from professionals in terms of that specific area that we... So as parents, we need to find our own ways, and that becomes very daunting in itself because you don't really know where to start.
Autism specifically, there's been a huge increase in cases the last decade or so, but is it just an increase in diagnosed cases? And there might be a lot of adults around that is on the spectrum.
I do feel so, because when you go back many, many, many years, autism was not around. So when you look at the 60s, 70s, a lot of children got diagnosed as dyslexia or a naughty child. But today you might look at it and go, I might be on the spectrum, when you look at all the conditions related to the spectrum. So a lot of adults are actually starting to question themselves. I've got a few adults that I know about that actually had themselves diagnosed to confirm whether they're on the spectrum.
And they didn't know.
They didn't know for however long, and now they're in their 30s, 40s, and now only they actually have received a diagnosis that they are on the autism spectrum because of how different they are and how they see just the world from a different angle.
And a lot of the signs you've mentioned, it wasn't really part of the common vocabulary 40 years ago. If you think attention deficit disorder, etc. So you mentioned some of them, like ADHD and anxiety and even seizures can be aspects of autism, but not necessarily.
Correct, yes.
What are the signs?
So when you look at autism, you can have many different conditions related to a child with autism. So when you look at all of those conditions, you need to understand those conditions to be able to help a child. So I'm going to just mention a few of them that we all might actually, even as a person, feel that we have them. So that would be ADD, ODD, ADHD, anxiety, OCD, which I think a lot of people in our community might suffer with, sensory, where some just can't take music or loud music, or those are all sensory-related conditions, and then auditory as well. So when you look at those things, it is around in our community, but a child with autism or that is on the spectrum will have all of those, where community members might only have one or two. And that is what makes it more challenging.
So just having one or two of those wouldn't necessarily mean that we are autistic, but it could be a sign.
Correct. It's a condition related to autism. Correct.
Getting back to the Indigo Smiles Autism Foundation. When did you start it? Why, how, what caused it?
We initially started in 2018, just before we hit lockdown and COVID. The main reason for starting this whole project is I am a parent myself. I have a son that is on the autism spectrum that is still nonverbal. So being a parent in a community with limited resources, people don't understand the condition. It is not easy to connect. It is not easy to go places. It is not easy to find facilities that caters for such children, to find therapists to work with such children, also to find community people that would just be able to connect with children like that. And that is one of the main reasons that I have started it, because I felt alone as a parent and I needed to find my son some friends. And since 2018 until now, I've tried or gathered over 150 local friends that are very similar to mine, and they are all in struggle. So that was my main outreach, was to basically help my own son and help all of these other children within our community that have no support, a parent that received no information, that is not able to go somewhere, because where do we go to?
And I think that it's important to also remember that other people don't always understand autism. They might not have children or know somebody that's got that. So they don't really understand what the challenges are, and they have a different perception of what an autistic child is like.
That is very true. You know, as a parent, autism is not something that any of us ask for. Okay. It is something that just like sort of pitch up at your door and you have to deal with it. It doesn't come with a manual like a car or a kitchen appliance that you buy for home, or you have to figure your way out. So as you just said, community members might not have that understanding. As a parent, I was exactly where that community member was, but I had to educate myself. I had to learn to accept. I had to look at the different perspective and understand it from my child's perspective, to be able to see his challenges and where do we need to find resources, bring in structure, and make a change within our community.
Now, this support for parents similar to yourself, how does the foundation go about delivering, providing that?
Because we are a new organization, at this moment we are trying to bring our parents together to determine the need that we have for a community. When we did our surveys in 2018, I had over 80 parents completing them that stated that they needed certain needs for autism. So once we have that updated and we can determine the need of each child, we can understand the cost involved of such treatments and therapies and what that specific family would need. And then we can take the next step and say, this is the program that such child need. We need X amount of funding. And now we are able to help that child make progress with what he requires.
Treatment will differ from child to child.
That is correct.
In terms of occupational or speech therapy or maybe therapy and medication, that it will be
physical or
tailor-made.
Correct, yes.
The 80 parents you mentioned, are they all in White River or is that the broader Lowveld?
They're in the Lowveld, yeah. From Komatipoort, Barberton, Lydenburg, Nelspruit, White River. That is my target working within, because we are local. We can support each other.
Your foundation is called Indigo Smiles Autism Foundation. What is the significance of indigo as a color in your name?
Okay, so some people might have heard about the term indigo kids before. So indigo kids, basically, it just touched my heart and it meant something different for me, because they are different-minded children, and indigo is one of the colors that you actually find in the rainbow. So it's like it's unique, and so is autism, because every child with autism, doesn't matter which level they are on, they are gifted and they are given for a reason to this earth. And through that, you know, looking at the indigo in the rainbow, it brings us hope. That is what it stands for in nature, and that is way we should look at it in terms of families, because there are always hope in autism, and we can help all children. It's just the understanding with that. So that's where the indigo came from.
Roughly estimated, how many people are considered living with autism today?
If you look at the World Health Organization's statistics of 2021, one in 161 children are currently worldwide living with autism.
And it is predicted to increase.
in the next 30 years, I think autism would increase to one in every 35 children.
That is a very large number of people. Is that because they get diagnosed for the first time, properly get diagnosed, or is it because of our lifestyle, our food, and
environmental factors?
How has Indigo Smiles taken hands with other local organizations and schools?
We have gone to introduce ourselves to some of the autism and special needs organizations, mainly to connect with the parents. We need to get in touch with the parents to find out what is their understanding of autism as a parent, where are their struggles, what do they need to be able to assist their child, and then work within organization to see where we can improve those resources that such organization might need to assist the children.
Schools, I think that's a very important place to start, because not only do you have a situation where other students don't understand, but teachers. Do teachers get the necessary training when they study to handle an autistic student? Are they given the tools to manage the problem?
Do you believe that autism is somehow part of their education, but a very, very small module? So it doesn't really allow for the understanding. And also because each child on the spectrum is different, it is difficult to understand. And in school, sadly, you have got one learning style, which means that the teachers needs to be there to serve 30 to 40 children in a class. So they cannot have five children jumping up and down and doing their own thing, and because they are not going to get anywhere. And this is also where it makes autism special needs difficult in normal schools. What I would like to achieve is before the child even goes to a primary school, these things should have been picked up at a preschool. Because from a preschool, we can still work. And even if a child needs to be kept a year behind because of certain challenges, rather do that than punish the child, send them to grade one, and by the time they get to grade three, we realize, but we missed all our early intervention skills, what we needed to get through those phases. With the primary schools, if you look at it, they all have a special needs class. So how can we help those children? That is where we would like to connect on a primary level to see where those children can be assisted. What does the primary school need to bring in the resources? And how can we accommodate that bridge between the normal learners and the special needs so that we can create that education, because they are our future and they need to understand the different conditions in community to be able to create a better future for themselves.
We are talking to Cindy Kutsia. She's from the Indigo Smiles Autism Foundation. The first episode of a series that we are going to be doing together on 100.5 FM. And in the next couple of weeks, we will be delving deeper into many of the issues and aspects of autism raised here today. Just before we let you go, how can any parent, grandparent, teacher listening now contact you?
You can get in touch with me on 083-765-1080.